Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
Good morning to you. We have made it to Thursday. Fantastic. Hours away from kickoff to week two in the NFL. It features the Vikings and the Eagles taking place in Philadelphia, where, I don't know, I'm worried about the fans going soft there. Maybe it's just baseball fans. But this disturbs me a little bit. Aren't these the same fans who claim to have booed Santa Claus? They fancy themselves tough, hard-nosed. They make it difficult. They're fierce toward opponents. Make it difficult for anyone who dares to enter the sacred stadium. Better be prepared for a fight. We're going to give you everything you can handle. That's supposed to be Philly fans, right?
Come on, Philly. Come on.
See what I mean? And yet, somehow, some way, someone thought it was a good idea to put up on the scoreboard, "Congratulations, Atlanta Braves, 2023 NL East champions." Are you kidding me? Why in the world would you congratulate your arch rival? Why would you congratulate a team that just beat you on its, and by the way, is leading you by 17 games in the division? Is this you waving the white flag? We concede, Braves. We concede. Yeah, that's just wrong. That should not happen. It should be insulting. It should be offensive that they're celebrating on your field having won the 2023 National League East division title. At your expense, mind you. You're trailing the Braves by 17 games in the division standings, and you feel the need to put up a congratulations Braves on your scoreboard in your stadium? You should be embarrassed. Completely humiliating.
Get out of here.
I can't get over that. Jay, if you can find a photo of it, please let me know, because that's just wrong.
I definitely can.
Would the Mets do that at Citi Field? Speaking of arch rivals,
I honestly do not think so, because it would be outrage. I mean, fans would lose their minds if they saw. I mean, just knowing me as a Met fan, if I was at the stadium and the Braves just won the NL East and were celebrating on the field, that's bad enough. To then congratulate them on your own Jumbotron, I couldn't imagine.
Let's think of some other really spirited rivalries, spirited, spicy, juicy rivalries. How about Bears-Packers? Could you imagine, just for the sake of argument, that they're playing a game late in the regular season? And the Packers beat the Bears in Chicago. Now, I know they just played there last week, but I'm saying, for the sake of argument, hypothetical. The Packers beat the Bears at Soldier Field to win the NFC North. In any scenario, could you see the Bears using their Jumbotron to post a congratulatory message? Way to go, Packers! NFC North champs! Could you imagine?
There's no way that happens.
How about Dodgers Giants? Well, let's stay in baseball. Could you imagine the Dodgers losing to the Giants in a series that determines the division title in the NL West, and the Dodgers put up on their Jumbotron, "Congratulations, Giants, 2023 NL West champions"?
There's no way.
The more I say it, the more incredulous
Yankees
I am.
In Fenway Park. There's no, like, that's what we're looking at.
UNC Duke. it comes down to, or even, well, it wouldn't be, that would not be, on, that would be at a neutral site. It wouldn't be at one of their courts. But UNC Duke late in the regular season, the division title or the conference championship, the regular season, comes down to this game. And at Cameron Indoor, Duke congratulates UNC on their Jumbotron.
It's insulting as a player.
How is that something that the Phillies agree to? Maybe it's just someone who's off on his or her own. They got their own autonomy and they're allowed to put whatever they want in the Jumbotron. They don't have to run it by the club.
Not anymore. That's going to change.
If I'm Rob Thompson, oh my gosh, if I'm Bryce Harper, I am livid.
You got to be furious. It's insulting. It's a slap in the face to lose on your field. And then, not like you said before, they're, what, 17 games behind the Braves?
17 games out. And you're fighting this team, not for division title necessarily, but you're fighting this team because you're trying to win every game you possibly can in a very competitive wild card race. And somehow it was a good idea to congratulate the Braves when they just beat you again. That's embarrassing.
It is. I'm not giving the Braves.
You know what that is? That's the sad sap of the week. The Phillies are the sad sap of the week. Oink. Or Facepalm Friday. I could bring it back on Facepalm Friday. I'm astonished by this. What other adjectives can I use?
I think we used flabbergasted before.
Right, but not about this. You were using flabbergasted. If I asked you, what would be your reaction if I just went off and got married and didn't tell you?
Oh, right. That's
you
a
said you'd be flabbergasted because we had a coworker do that to us about 8 years ago.
I'd be appalled if
appalled. That's a good word right there. It's asinine. Keep going. Your turn. Ludicrous. It's ridiculous.
It's insanity. It's...
Well, that's a noun, but okay.
I'm trying here.
Yeah, it's gross is what it is. I'm embarrassed for the Phillies. I really am. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. At least Matt Olson was gracious. What does it mean to clinch against these Phillies?
We got a lot of respect for these guys. It's a good team. We've always had a lot of good battles, and they got us last year, but... You know, hopefully that isn't the case this year. We're happy to get this division win and celebrate for a little bit and then find a way to get back to work and get ready for the playoffs.
I mean, maybe that's what it is. Maybe the Phillies are willing to congratulate the Braves because they felt like they got the last laugh by eliminating them in October a year ago. Maybe that's it. Maybe they're extending and I don't know some grace to the Braves because you know what? We kicked your ass right out of the playoffs last year.
Yeah, that crossed my mind, like almost like a trolling thing, even maybe. But no. You're down
it's
17
not trolling.
Games in the division.
And
I'm
you
sorry,
you can't use a text to troll. I mean, you can, but not in that context. Where yes, they are in fact celebrating on your field, and you're okay with that. No.
I'm
I would have put something on the board, the Jumbotron, along the lines of. Hey, that division title means a whole lot of nothing. Good luck moving forward.
We'll just keep playing replays of last year's NLDS, right?
I'm seriously shocked by this.
I just want to put get home safe, like the normal standard, like leaving thing that a team would put up when the game's over.
Don't shoot the Braves on your way out of town. I mean, it used to be that fierce. I don't know.
They're cheering guys who are playing bad, like Trey Turner.
Maybe they accept that it's not really a rivalry anymore.
Although they
did beat them in October, but yeah, I kind of feel like they waved the white flag.
Feels it a little
this
bit.
This is not even sportsmanship, like the handshake line after an NHL playoff series. No, this is regular season. You have not yet clinched the playoffs. You can barely see the Braves from where you are in the standings, and somehow you think it's a good idea to congratulate them after they just beat you.
Way to go.
Way to go. I mean... If you look at the Major League Baseball standings, this is the part that bothers me even more. I get it. They've got the number one wild card right now. But it's not as though they're so far ahead that they can't possibly lose out. I mean, the Cubs are hot on their heels. The Reds, the Diamondbacks, the Giants, the Marlins, they're all within a half game of that last wild card spot. You're a sitting duck. They're all coming for you. But in your graciousness, you decide, You know
good
what?
Good for the Braves.
Good for the Braves. Way to go, Braves. Ew. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, this is kind of funny. Jay made this point earlier. He saw it on social. Matt Olson has more home runs this season than the Braves have losses. That's how good they are. They are a juggernaut. They're already at 96 wins, and they still have 16 games to go. So chances are they're going to win more than five of those last 16. I'm not predicting here, but it seems like a pretty good bet considering their track record. And they're going to eclipse last year's win total, 101. I mean, the Phillies weren't intimidated by that. Maybe that's all about. It's about lulling them to sleep with these congratulations.
Kill them with kindness kind of thing?
No, it's more about trying to undermine any idea that they're a threat. Oh, we're not a threat. You're the big bad Braves. Way to go, Braves. Maybe if we're lucky, we'll see you in October. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
A little bit self-deprecating.
It's a bold strategy. I don't think it's going to pay off. But
yeah, I don't think I still can't get over that. Anyway, Brian Snitker and the Braves, six straight division titles.
You got to earn these things. They're all special. They're all really hard to do. I'm just so proud of these guys, how they stayed so consistent all year and their work ethic. They never got into the highs and lows and the ups and downs. They just stayed, you know, they kept an even course and just never stopped playing. And now they're going to be rewarded for it.
I just got a tweet. Would you like me to read it to you? Now, I don't know where this guy is coming from. His name is Sean. But I would venture a guess that he's either from Ohio or in Ohio now, because his Twitter avatar, his Twitter handle, big fan of the Guardians, Cavs, Browns, and Ohio State football.
Makes sense.
Okay, so even if he's not in Ohio, he is a native or has roots there. And he says, I'm making a big deal out of nothing. I can assure you, you're making a big deal out of nothing. Braves-Phillies isn't a rivalry.
Oh.
You just can't make up a rivalry. No, I'm not telling you it's the best rivalry in sports or anything, but I'm pretty sure it's a rivalry in the NL East. I still think, even if it's not the spiciest rivalry in baseball, it's not Cubs-Cardinals. It's not Giants-Dodgers, as we were talking about. But still, to congratulate the team that's kicking your ass in the division standings, way to go! Woo!
I wouldn't put it up for any team. Like, say if it was the Phillies playing, I don't know, the Minnesota Twins who were in town and they wanted to clinch the American League Central. Like, I wouldn't put it up for them either.
Nah. It's an odd gesture. But mostly considering the fact that they're in the same division, you're down by 17 games, and you haven't clinched a playoff spot yet. I'm not sure you can afford to be congratulating other teams. How about start racking up some wins yourself? It's like congratulating the Braves for beating them.
That's what it is. That's literally what it is.
It's just weird. It's just weird. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's see. What else in Major League Baseball? The Rangers have won five in a row, and the Toronto Blue Jays have been embarrassed in their series. But there's good news and bad news for the Rangers in that Mad Max Scherzer, formerly part of the NL East, wonder if he would advocate for congratulating the Braves.
He did enough for them last season.
Still wild card wacky, are you? Scherzer is actually out for the rest of the year because he's got a strained muscle that generally takes a month to heal.
I was pretty sore when I woke up this morning, so I knew this could be bad. Going to an MRI tube, didn't know what was going to come out on the other side. And so to get the news that it's a Terry's major strain, that's a muscle ability, not the ligaments or the tendons. In some ways, I'm almost relieved that's not worse.
He does love to talk about his injuries. Now, the dude is 39, but he says, don't be thinking I'm Aaron Rodgers and I'm going to be out for a year. Don't be speculating about whether or not I'm done.
Fully expect to make a full recovery, no surgeries.
Facts are facts. Like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, According to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
The venue's set. Families coming in from all over. It's her quinceañera. With all the excitement, it may be easy to overlook COVID-19. It's still a risk, and that's why it's muy importante to get this season's COVID-19 shot ahead of time. It helps protect against COVID-19, which can cause severe illness and hospitalization. So let's set the date, vaccinate, and celebrate. Check eligibility and schedule this season's COVID-19 shot on the CDC site, vaccines.gov. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
That's really good. As for what happens from here on out, just gotta listen to what my body says. I'll throw a ball when I can throw a ball, but it sounds like I'm not gonna be able to throw a ball for a little bit, so who knows.
The team has such resolve and fight. I'm not worried about that from the mentality of the group. These guys are strong, and every time we faced adversity this year, they've responded. And that's my expectation here. We have a number of starting pitchers who can step in and fill this void. And ultimately, we've put ourselves in great position despite the injuries that we've had. And I'm looking forward to the next 2.5 weeks of baseball.
That's Chris Young, former Rangers pitcher himself, now the GM. Wait, why are you looking at me like that? Oh, okay. Sometimes Jay gets a look on his face and I think, uh-oh, did I say something wrong?
I'll close my eyes.
Oh, what? I don't think that's what I was looking for. But you
part
look,
of my appearance.
You looked at me when he was a pitcher, wasn't he? Am I thinking about a different Chris Young?
No, you're right.
Okay.
The same guy. There actually was a hitter, Chris Young, too.
There were two Chris Youngs, yeah. But I thought this was the pitcher.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Phew. Wow. I mean, I do need to apologize for my miscues and mistakes every now and then, but Jay gave me this really odd look.
I didn't mean that.
I think he's considering how the Phillies just made a joke out of their own selves.
It's still just blowing my mind.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Flummoxed.
You're speechless? Are you speechless?
Yes.
That would be great. When do we get to tell people what we did with our fantasy football teams?
Oh, let's see how it goes first.
No. Okay. No. We have to own up. Both of us, like dodos, picked Aaron Rodgers as our fantasy football quarterbacks. Now, I warned Jay, and he did it anyway. And then when he did it, I thought, well, as a show of solidarity, I'll go ahead and walk down that same dumb road with him.
I appreciated that.
It's even worse than I thought, worse than I imagined. Obviously, Aaron's health is far more important than fantasy football. But it did leave us in a bit of a pickle. We'll explain before the top of the hour. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I don't have time to enjoy the moment. I had a Santa don't have time. You know, he got to deliver the gifts. He ain't got time to enjoy his cookies. Okay? That's all he gets. I ain't got time for that. I got to keep it going. I got to keep this machine going and make sure we stay on the right path and make sure we're locked in and we're focused on the right things. Make sure we're practicing adequately. Make sure we're giving it our all. Making sure we're making the right adjustments and doing the playing the proper personnel. So it's a lot. It's a lot driving this train. It's not easy.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
There's a ton of buzz surrounding the Buffaloes. A lot of buzz coming out of Boulder. We call it the Boulder buzz. Although, not going to say it. Just going to leave it. Has nothing to do. It's Boulder and Buffalo buzz. Amy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So Deion Sanders and the Buffaloes now 2-0. And they're playing angry and they're making all kinds of remarks along the way that stir up the pot. That's one major storyline early in college football. And of course, last weekend, Texas going into Tuscaloosa, upsetting Alabama. So now the Longhorns, they make a statement, but are they back? Are they really back? What does this say about them as a program? Remember, they've been through a ton of iterations lately, different coaches, new quarterbacks, new styles, new cultures. So do we know yet if this Texas version, this Longhorns football culture and iteration is here to stay? So Coach Sark, he was asked, what does the win in Alabama say about your program?
I think it just shows a lot about kind of what we're capable of. This game's not going to define our season. We got 10 more regular season games to play, but I think it does serve as a good benchmark for us of kind of what we're capable of and what the potential of who we can be as a team moving forward.
As for Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide, they've dropped down to number 10. It's like the shine has gone off of the Crimson Tide, but Nick Saban always up for a challenge.
The focus is 100% on how we get it turned around. You know, the future is now. All right, so how do we get our players to, we got to do a better job as coaches to help them be able to play, you know, better, more consistently in the game, put them in a position where they have the best chance to be successful.
Nick Saban and Coach Sark, they've clashed a couple of times now, and soon Texas will be joining the SEC. So these are two of the big storylines that we were looking at coming out of week two of college football. And to that end, we wanted to talk to college football insider Chris Vanini of The Athletic, joined us earlier in the show from Dallas, actually. And we just want to bring back a couple of minutes to whet your appetite as we look ahead to more drama on the horizon. I asked him first his reaction to Colorado and what we've seen so far from Deion's Buffs.
I'll admit, I am surprised how quickly he is finding success. I thought this was going to be a season where they win three or four games and it would take a year or two before things get rolling, but he's got it going. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to win 10 games or anything, but they are doing a lot better in the areas that I didn't expect them to so quickly. I think you got to credit, one, the players, absolutely. A lot of them had never played together before until this season. And offense coordinator Sean Lewis has done a really, really good job there, helping Shedeur Sanders throw for almost 1,000 yards already this season, hasn't thrown an interception. So a lot of the little areas Colorado is doing really well in, penalties, organization, like they're on top of things, and that has been really impressive.
A lot of people who see Deion as a guy who has a bunch of shtick, right, and he doesn't really mean what he says, and it's more about show, but it does seem humorous that every game he goes into now, there's some kind of reason for him to carry a chip on his shoulder or for the team to kind of play angry or play with an edge. It certainly seems like he brings that from the way that he played, actually.
Look, Deion Sanders has always understood that sports is an entertainment business.
True.
And he is going to make sure he is entertaining in every way that he can. That's not to say he's not doing things the right way or succeeding. He obviously is. He knows the value of the entertainment aspect of that. And yeah, he's going to find anything to have a chip on the shoulder. I think everybody does that. I mean, we remember 2 years ago when Georgia won the national championship, I think it was, and Nolan Smith said, people said Georgia was going to go 7-5, and I've not found a single person who said Georgia was going to go 7-5. But Kirby Smart was able to imprint that us against the world mentality in a team that is favored for everybody to win. So the best coaches are able to pull that out, and he's clearly got a good connection with his players where they believe in him, and when he tells them something, they're going to go to the wall for it. And it creates a lot of entertainment for us. You know, TV ratings for Colorado are through the roof right now. That's why Fox is going there. Fox Big Noon's going there 3 weeks in a row. College Game Day's going there this year. Like, it's a show. It's a circus in a good way. And he knows how to take advantage of that.
Certainly was a show and highly entertaining in Tuscaloosa on Saturday night, where the Texas Longhorns maybe served notice to the rest of college football that they're closer to being back than they have in quite a long time. What do you see with the Texas Longhorns that maybe shows you this is for real now?
It's what they did in the trenches on the offensive and defensive line. That is where Texas has struggled for the last decade. That's where we thought they were going to be better this year, and they are. They lived up to the hype of what they are doing there. They were able to run the ball late in the game when you knew they were going to run the ball. They were able to pressure Jalen Milroe constantly with the pass rush, funnel run plays to the inside to keep the Alabama run game in check. Texas looks like a championship team in the trenches, and that's always what it takes at the end. It's what they've missed for a while. And, yeah, so Texas goes to Alabama and wins. Most impressive win of the season. The real test for Texas being back, so to speak, is how they respond to it, because they'd often get a big win, and then you lose to a team you shouldn't lose to. They've got Wyoming this week, Baylor in 2 weeks, Oklahoma after that. So I think Texas is feeling good, and the real test of things is, can they keep this going?
As for Alabama, it's almost as though the shine has come off the Tide in the last couple of years. What do you see as a big problem with them specifically?
They just lack the skill players on offense that win you a ballgame. I mean, Alabama could have lost to Texas last year. They probably would have if Bryce Young didn't pull that game out of a hat, basically. Him and Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs, who was a transfer. They haven't had the elite wide receivers. Where is your Derrick Henry, your Julio Jones, your Devontae Smith? They haven't had those guys really the last couple of years outside of Bryce Young at quarterback. And even at quarterback, you go from Jalen Hurts to Tua to Mac Jones to Bryce Young. Those are first-round, second-round NFL quarterbacks, and now they don't have that right now. That is where it starts. If Alabama's recruiting numbers are great, but they have lacked the game-changing players at skill positions. So now they've fallen back to the pack a little bit.
Chris, how much do you think NIL or even transfer portal may have to do with that?
I don't think it has anything to do with Alabama. I think the biggest thing is the existence of Georgia. I mean, Georgia has come in and recruited. Kirby Smart obviously came from Alabama, and he's getting a lot of players who maybe would have gone to Alabama 5 years ago. And that's changing. Texas A&M, too, had the number one recruiting class a couple of years ago. So they Alabama still recruits really, really well, but so do some other schools now, schools that Alabama directly competes against. I always thought in the transfer era, Alabama would never have any holes again, that if they didn't have a quarterback, they could go out and get a really good quarterback to come in. And that they just kind of haven't done that. And Georgia hasn't done a ton of transfers either. So I don't think that's what's hurting Alabama necessarily, that or NIL or anything. It's just not, it's just losing guys to some schools who are very, very good.
More with Chris Vanini on the podcast. We talked about the conference realignment and what's happening with the Pac-12. Did you know it could be down to 2 member schools? That's it. And so you can catch that with the link that we post every weekday morning on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, also where all of our polls originate. And then our Facebook page, too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming up, it's the AFC version of QB News, looking ahead to week number 2. And Chris Jones speaking for the first time since he signed the new contract extension with the Chiefs.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Third down and 10 for the Chargers. They're 3 of 9 on third down at their own 9. They lead by 3. Chiefs are blitzing. Herbert is sacked back at the 2-yard line on a blitz. Chris Jones makes a huge play. Herbert had no chance. And the Chargers 3-and-out for the second straight possession.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mitch Holtis on Chiefs Radio. Yeah, they're happy to have Chris Jones back. He watched the first game from a suite at Arrowhead Stadium, made sure he had a suite there so he could be with the team, just not on the team or in the locker room, though that has changed now. He's got a one-year reworked contract, and he's happy, says, speaking to the media for the first time on Wednesday.
Yeah, I chose my representation like years ago. I kind of made that decision not to come to camp. I didn't want to be a distraction of holding in, and I'm super pleased with how it turned out. You know, I'm back in the building. I'm excited to be back. Thankful for the organization. They was able to boost my salary up to make up for the fines and everything. I'm super grateful for that. And we're focused on winning the next game. We got the Jacksonville Jaguars coming in, very good team. Coming off a loss to Detroit Lions, which is tough. But yeah, we're looking for a bounce back week.
So the negotiations, according to Chris Jones, never got acrimonious. They were never at odds. They just couldn't come to an agreement until after week number one. And he says, actually, despite the holdout, he's pleased that the team is giving him some extra money to make up for the fines. And he says nothing's changed. He still loves the Chiefs.
I can't look forward to next year. Right now, we focus on I'm glad to be back this year. This is my last year. Hopefully, we can get something worked out after the year for long term. I reiterated multiple times. I plan to play for the Kansas City Chiefs for the long haul of my career. That doesn't change because of this, the past situation. And we focus on Jacksonville, man. We're focused on Jacksonville.
I shouldn't really call it an extension. It was really a replacement of the last year he had on his current deal. But what they do is they change the terms, they rework it, they renegotiate it, and they give him a bunch of extra incentives where he can have a big chunk of he wanted a raise, right? Big chunk of extra cash. And they also gave him the $3 million. That's for him to recoup what he lost in the fines and missing week number one. And also, he had a message for the media, which was kind of funny.
Listen, I'm happy to be back, okay? The business aspect, you can't get personal into it. You know, when you get personal, things can turn bad. You know what I mean? I never took it personal. I did take some of the stuff y'all said on Twitter about me personal. Like, I just want y'all to know. I keep receipts, okay? Talking to all y'all that's been talking stuff on Twitter, I keep receipts. And yeah.
Murray back to throw, and it is. Is it tossed? Oh my goodness, it's tossed! DeAndre
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, here to tell you about my new podcast, Search Engine. On Search Engine, we tackle the kinds of questions that keep you up at night. Like, why are drug dealers putting fentanyl in everything? Should we be worried that Elon Musk believes that we're living in a simulation? And, for the love of God, is it actually unsafe to drink the coffee on airplanes? On Search Engine, no question is too big and no question is too small. Listen and follow Search Engine with PJ Vogt and Odyssey Podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
As easy as pie?
Sure. All you have to do is enter your license plate or VIN.
As easy as a stroll in the park.
Okay, then just answer a few questions and you'll get a real offer in seconds.
As easy as singing!
Why not? Schedule a pickup or drop-off and Carvana will pay you that amount right on the spot.
As easy as playing guitar.
Actually, I find that kind of difficult. But selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
Can be.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get an instant offer today.
It's caught it!
Dapper from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it! Touchdown, LA!
Burrow back to throw. Looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's got it!
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught! Touchdown, Kansas City!
And off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown! Chargers! Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone, touchdown Buffalo! Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Well, of course, We have to start with Patrick Mahomes, the QB of the Chiefs, who is in an 0-1 hole. As Chris Jones pointed out, great to have one of their best pass rushers back in the fold.
I'm happy to have him. I mean, Chris is not only a great player, but a great person that's in the locker room, and he always has a smile on his face. And so, like I said early in training camp, whenever he gets back, we're going to welcome him with open arms. And now we're going to try to go out there and find a way to get a win.
The Chiefs are on the road at Jacksonville, so they need Chris Jones. They need Patrick Mahomes at his best. They need Travis Kelce, though. We're still waiting to find out if Kelce will be able to play. He's all the rage right now, though, because there are rumors that he and Taylor Swift are hanging out. Who knows if it's true or not? People just make crap up, so I have no idea. But neither rep would comment.
Remember when a couple weeks ago when the Eras tour was in Kansas City, yeah. He tried to meet up with her.
He tried with a friendship bracelet. And Josh Allen has trolled him so badly over that gift. Like, that's the way you try to get her attention?
It looks like
a friendship bracelet.
Man knows what he's doing.
It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Of course, the big news in the quarterback arena is Aaron Rodgers. He did, for the first time yesterday, post on his Instagram account, and he says that he's heartbroken. He says that he's going through all the emotions now, and this is really difficult for him, really challenging, but the night is darkest before the dawn, and I shall rise yet again, just not for the Jets in 2023.
Nobody needs to think that they need to go all world now. You just need to be yourself. Just trust that yourself is good enough. Zach is talented. Every player on this football team is talented. And they just have to work within the framework of who they are, what they're being asked to do. The old cliche, do your job to the best of your ability and just trust the results will show.
Robert Saleh has got to have his team forward facing because they head to Dallas coming up in week number two. Dalvin Cook, though, he's one of the reasons that this team was being compared to what Brady did with the Bucs, right? Because they brought in a bunch of players that Brady was familiar with. He could put guys around him that he was comfortable with. That's what Aaron Rodgers did. Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb and even Dalvin Cook, a guy he knew from the NFC North.
Aaron was a big part of me coming here and, you know, trying to build something up and go chase what we're chasing. And the goal is still the same for us, to go do what we need to do. But, yeah, man, that was – I just wanted to take a carry from eight, man, just get one from a great. It just break my heart just for him. You know, I've been through injuries in this league, and just, like, you know, I see a guy put so much into the game, and just for it to happen like that, you know, the game cheats you sometimes, and I was just one of those cheats.
Cheats you, and it's cruel sometimes. And Dalvin, with the empathy, didn't even get to take a handoff from Aaron Rodgers. He didn't even complete a pass. It's still stunning to say it out loud. At least the Jets ended up with a win. The Bengals were awful in Cleveland. They got their butts handed to them, didn't even score a touchdown. And Joe Burrow, well, he had to watch film of that game against the Browns.
In a game like that, you take as much as you can from it. You know, obviously the conditions weren't great. That's the main takeaway, is you learn how to adapt to those conditions. You have a game like that, and you reflect, and what could you have done better, and handle the conditions is the main thing.
Yeah. Let's talk about Bengals. Let's talk about your game coming up in week number two. But mostly, Joe Burrow, what's with the new haircut, and why did you decide to get a haircut? When is it the right time to get a haircut?
When you have a game like that on Sunday.
Now, does that mean he's superstitious? He decided he had to change his hairstyle and his hairdo because they had a brutal game on Sunday?
If he has a good game this week, it's because of the hair, and we know it.
Burrow was 14 of 31, not even 100 yards, not even 90 yards, not even 85 yards passing, and the Bengals were 2 of 15 on third down. Not however, ideal. They were not alone, because the Titans might have been worse. The Titans, Ryan Tannehill, 3 interceptions. And, oh, yeah, he's tired of hearing about it.
Guys, I just want to move on to San Diego. I'm not going to answer any more questions about what happened Sunday. What happened Sunday happened. I'm not happy about it. No one in this building's happy about it. But at the end of the day, it's over. We can learn from it. We can move on. And if you have any questions about San Diego, LA, I'm more than happy to answer.
That's good. Get him off the set with some humor, Ryan Tannehill. Yeah, it was rough. The way that Ryan Tannehill at times just gives the game to the other team is kind of rough. Yeah, two of those three Tannehill interceptions against the Saints were in the third quarter, and they led to 10 points for the Saints. I mean, hello, you lose by one, and you give them 10 points in the third quarter on your turnovers? It's pretty self-explanatory. Hey, the rookies in the AFC South made their debuts in week number one. C.J. Stroud, he's just ready to move on to game two.
That game went how it went, and I mean, I threw it away, and I learned from it. Now I'm moving on. So I'm not sure what triggered or whatever. I'm just now moving on to what I did good in that week, and even bottling that away and putting that away and using it for later, but trying to create more skills and upgrade on certain looks and certain plays that we're going to run to be better this week.
27 of 43, 230 yards, five sacks of C.J. Stroud. Welcome to the NFL rookie. He also lost a fumble. And, yeah, the Texans really couldn't generate a whole lot of offense against the Ravens. The other rookie in the AFC South is Anthony Richardson, and the Colts had three turnovers. So, again, rookies giveth and they taketh away.
Just being a little bit more smarter with the ball, you know, with the details, just fine-tuning that. One of the plays, I miscalled it for Pitt, and, you know, we got mixed up with the formation and the motion and everything. So just detailing that up and just being smarter with the ball, helping the team out.
It's not like the Jaguars were that much better. They were actually only 3 of 12 on third down. But and it was a competitive battle. I mean, the Colts were able to move the football. They were able to get themselves in position. But you remember there were a couple of moments where, as he points out, got to be smarter with the football. You're kind of right there on the cusp and just, oh, no. Plus, I think the experience of the Jaguars shone through in this game because of how they were able to score a couple times in the fourth quarter, right? They were able to use their opportunities when they had to in the fourth quarter and around a Richardson interception, right? So it's that type of a killer instinct that comes with the experience. You get the touchdown, then you get a turnover, and then boom. You got to pile on. You got to make sure that you use the opportunities.
So
the
Jaguars, no matter what happens, that's your response. Good.
Good. The Jaguars weren't great. There were very few teams that offensively looked good. The Niners, which brings us to fantasy football. Again, producer Jay. The Niners looked good. Certainly the Cowboys did, but a lot of that was their defense and special teams. The conditions were rough at MetLife. I understand that. There were stretches where teams looked good, but I wouldn't say that overall anybody's crowing about their offense in the first week. It was a lot of sacks and turnovers. That's what it was.
I think there was a lot of bad football from what I watch.
That's out of context, Tom Brady. So producer Jay and I, he did it first. Much to my chagrin, we both had Aaron Rodgers as our fantasy quarterback. I knew better because I had him last year, and I won my league in spite of him. He never once, at one time, went over 20 points, but it was a rare occurrence. And so I told producer Jay, do not draft Aaron Rodgers. What does he do? He drafts Aaron Rodgers. So then I have my fantasy football draft a few days later, and I, after scoffing at Jay, find myself in the same position because I waited too long. All the good quarterbacks were gone. Yep. I thought, okay, he's got some good receivers. The offense should put up some points. Yeah, speaking of points, we didn't even get 1 point from Aaron Rodgers before the season is done.
Didn't even get a yard.
Not even, not even one. Not even a point two. Nothing. And I feel badly for him. I'm not one of those people who's going to send him a death threat on Twitter or anything. I'm just saying, I knew better, and I drafted him anyway. But I warned Jay, and he did not heed the warning. We got stuck. So then on Wednesday, we both hit the waiver wire. Jay goes first. Why do I keep following you? Why?
We're going to win, that's
okay.
Why.
So Jay goes first and gets
Mr. Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy. And he tells me this before I hit the waiver wire. Wouldn't you know, the quarterback who had the most points in week number one, who was available in my league, Brock Purdy. I mean, 17 points is better than no points.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Hurdy looks good. He's got all the weapons.
He does.
Why not? I mean,
they don't throw the ball. Well, they do throw the ball, but it's not as though that's what they want to do. They don't want to be a high-flying offense or anything.
Give a little flip forward to McCaffrey. He runs it for 65 yards. He gets those pass yards.
Can we make sure we pass it to McCaffrey instead of hand it off to McCaffrey?
That's all I ask.
Brock Purdy or bust, baby. All right, we'll talk to you tonight after football. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!